Mark chapter 13, verse 13. And the Bible says, "And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." Heavenly Father, I would pray, Lord, that you'd bless us. Lord, thank you for the good morning we had. Very unusual service, Lord. We planned it that way, but what a blessing it was to see all the precious, precious children that you allow us to minister to. It was good for us spend most of our Sundays here in the auditorium to see with our eyes and have our hearts affected by what we've seen. And I pray that you'd bless the children, the children's outreaches, ministries. Thank you for every single one that serves, Lord, here in some capacity, ministering to children. And I pray, Lord, that you'd bless the service tonight. Lord, may the sermon be an encouragement to God's people. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. I'm going to preach two messages. Lord willing, I'm going to preach this message tonight, and if the Lord doesn't redirect me, I want to follow it up with a companion message next Sunday night. I want to preach on this subject tonight, how to endure in temptation, how to endure in tribulation or temptation. And then next week, by the way, you have to learn to endure tribulation before you can graduate to learn how to glory in tribulation. And so tonight I want to give you the basics. Enduring tribulation, enduring persecution, enduring testing really requires a biblical mindset. There has to be some things that you grasp that are biblical principles. You have to have a certain mindset about tribulation. You have to understand some things about tribulation if you're just going to learn to endure testing or persecution or tribulation. And so tonight I want to teach you maybe the high school level course on tribulation or persecution or testing, and then maybe next week we'll go to the advanced graduate course on how to glory in tribulation. But tonight, let's focus in on this. Now, have you got your Bibles ready? Remember when you were kids and used to do Bible drills? We're not going to go to that extent, but I do want to holler out some verses. And rather than me just read them, I think it would benefit you to see these verses because they will lay the foundation for what we're going to teach tonight, how to endure in tribulation. Mark 13, verse 13, "And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." That's not, by the way, talking about salvation by grace through faith. It's not talking about being born again. It's talking about how to survive the Christian life to the end. And it says this. This comes with the package, class. If you're a Christian, you're not always going to be the most popular person. The stands that you have to take. I'll just tell you right now, there's people in Jaceville that just don't love this preacher a whole lot right now, okay? You're not always going to be beloved by everybody. You're not always going to get to be on the popularity side. You're going to face some attacks. You're going to have some people come after you and come after your children, come after your family at times, just because you're trying to stand for right and you're trying to do what's right. Do you understand that a lot of people don't care what's right and what's wrong? A lot of people don't care about what's fair. A lot of people don't care about whether they're nice. They don't care about how other people feel. And so we have to learn that tribulation is part of it. And listen, it says, if you will endure unto the end. So the admonition here, the encouragement is sometimes you just have to endure it. I'm going to define that in just a minute. Now, 2 Thessalonians, let's go there. 2 Thessalonians. And again, we'll just kind of skip through and look at some scriptures together. 2 Thessalonians, chapter number 1. And if you'll locate, please, verse number 4. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1, and verse number 4. "So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure." And here the church is congratulated just for learning and getting to that level where they know how to endure temptation. So this isn't spoken of in a negative connotation. They're being congratulated on it. Now, is there something higher than enduring a tribulation? Yes, there is. We'll talk about that next Sunday. But first, folks, let's get to that level where we learn to endure it. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, just a few books over 2 Timothy chapter number 2. And if you will, look at verse number 4, 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm sorry, and verse number 3, 2 Timothy 2:3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now, if you're going to obey that command, you're going to have to learn how to endure temptation, how to endure tribulation or hardness. Same book, 2 Timothy chapter 4, notice if you will, verse number 5, 2 Timothy 4:5. But watch thou in all things, here it is again, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Let me just remind you that this is a book, even though these precepts, these principles apply to all Christians, this is a book written to preachers. And you know what? I've had to find out in life that as a preacher, there has to be times where I just learn to endure affliction. And you have to help your wife learn to endure affliction, endure hardness. You have to train your children how to endure affliction, endure hardness. And so that matter of just learning to endure, and we're going to, again, talk more about this. Go to James chapter number 5. It's right after the book of Hebrews, the big book of Hebrews. You'll find James tucked behind there. James chapter number 5, if you will, find verse number 10 and 11. James 5:10. James 5:11, take my brethren the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. And so there he speaks of the Old Testament examples of the prophets, and specifically mentioning Job as an example of someone who just learned to endure. And then 1 Peter, if you'll go there, and we'll go to the last one here. 1 Peter chapter number 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2. It's just fun to read the Bible sometimes, isn't it? 1 Peter chapter number 2. And if you'll notice verse number 18, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 18. Listen to this. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man of conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. Well, preacher, I'm all for enduring, but you know what? What they did wasn't fair. Well, he says in this scripture, sometimes, guess what? You're going to suffer wrongfully. You've got to learn to endure. Enduring grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. He said it's one thing if you're doing wrong and you get buffeted for it or persecuted for it or suffer tribulation for it. He said that's we can kind of handle that, because down deep we can say, you know, honest truth is I kind of deserve that. But he said when you are doing right and you suffer for it, he said that's the real test. If you suffer wrongfully and you learn to endure the testing, the temptation, or the persecution, the tribulation that sometimes comes with just doing right, how to endure in tribulation. Now, let me define the word endure for you. If you were to take the time to use the tools available to a Bible student, and you would look at that word endure and study the Greek definition, the original Greek word, you would find, now get this. You will find that the word endure means to bear from underneath. To bear from underneath. Now this is fun, because I think the Lord wants you to learn how to bear it from underneath. And then next week we're going to talk to you a little bit about how to give up on top on the victory side a little bit, okay? But sometimes God's just going to ask you to endure some things. To endure some things. Now, a tribulation is going to come into your life. Testing is going to come into your life. Persecution is going to come into your life. I'm not talking about you have done some evil and you're paying a consequence. I'm talking about you're trying to do what's right. And still, in the doing of right, people misunderstand you. In the doing of right, people mistreat you. Tribulation, folks, tribulation is going to come. Now, let me just see if I can get your mind on this and situate it in the right way. Several things I want to give you tonight. Let me just give that to you, and I'll give you the mindset that helps a Christian to endure tribulation. Number one, realize there's some things you're going to have to realize. Every point will start with that word. Realize tribulation is part of the Christian experience. Now, look right up here and let me help you. One of the things that I think shocks me is that tribulation shocks Christians. Now, if a testing or persecution or a tribulation comes to your life and your first reaction to it is that you're shocked, then we've got to fix that before we can go any farther. Folks, I'm not shocked when tribulation comes. Come on, some of you mature Christians, help me a little bit here. I've grown past the point where I'm surprised if an attack is unleashed upon me or my family or my church. I'm not shocked by it. I don't immediately go into meltdown mode and curl up in a fetal position and say, I just don't understand why this has happened to me. You know why? Because I do understand why it's happening to me. I do understand why it's happening to me. Now let me give you the verses that will help you, and because of time I'm going to have to read some of the verses. There's a lot of things to cover tonight. Realize tribulation is part of the Christian experience. You say, preacher, does the Bible teach this? Yes. 2 Timothy 3:12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. How about John 5:16? And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. And then they persecuted Christ. So what does he teach us in John 15? Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will also keep yours. John 16:33, what did he teach us? What did he tell us? These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Now let me just help some of you right away. Some of you have developed a mindset where if a testing comes or persecution comes or a tribulation comes, you immediately want to get on the defensive. You immediately want to begin to question God. You immediately want to say it's not fair. You immediately want to go into this mindset. Folks, the Bible is very plain about this. This is just a few of the many verses we could have read. God tells us that tribulation and testing and persecution is part of the Christian experience. So stop being surprised. You live this Christian life long enough, you're not going to be surprised when things are going bad. You're going to be surprised when you hit those little calm places when everything's going good. Somebody asked me a while back, they said, hey, how's the church? And I said, I don't want to talk about it. And somebody from outside the church, and they said, oh, is it that bad? I said, no, it's that good. And if I talk about it, I'll mess it up. You ever been to those, you know, good times in your life where someone asks you and you don't want to say anything because you're afraid? You know, we use the word jinx it. I don't know if that's proper Bible, but we're just afraid we're going to jinx it if we say anything too much about it. Now, folks, listen to me. Hey, come on. Have you been saved for more than a year or two? Then you need to grow to the point where you have a biblical understanding, a biblical mindset. If I do right, and I do right consistently, and I do right long enough, you know what? Sooner or later, I'm going to face some testing. I'm going to face some tribulation. I'm going to face some persecution. It comes with it. Jesus did not hide this from me. He told us about it. He warned us about it. He prepared us about it. So get the mindset. Don't let every attack of Satan or every attack by some ungodly person throw you off course. You just can't do that. Folks, you can't do that because it's just part of it. Number one, realize tribulation is part of the Christian experience. Number two, realize tribulation. I love this. Realize tribulation cannot separate you from the mind of God. Now, I'm going to have you go over to Revelation chapter number 2 because I want you to see this. This will encourage your heart. You see, one of the things that Satan's going to do is he begins to, when you're going through testings and persecution, tribulation, he begins to play certain mind games with you. And he begins to try to level accusations against God to you. Okay? Now let me read this and then I'll make the point. Revelation chapter number 2 and verse number 9. Notice what Jesus wrote to the church. And this was a church, by the way, that was going through great persecution. This, I hope this will encourage you. I hope that you'll underline this. Chapter 2, verse number 9. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. I know the blasphemy of them that say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye might be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Now, several things in this thing is such an encouragement to us, all right? But let me tell you, one of the things that Satan will immediately come to you with, an accusation, he'll try to level against God when you're going through a time of tribulation or trial or testing. He's going to say, God's forgot all about you. Come on now, have you ever felt that before? I have. I've sometimes, man, I'll tell you what, I sent all the invitations out, wanted to throw a pity party, nobody showed up, so I decided to have one anyway, you know. And one of the first things that's whispered into my ear when I get down in the dumps is, you know what, God just forgot about you. And by the way, you'll see that same tactic used all through the Old Testament. Some of the greatest prophets in the world. Hey, preacher, do you look down on a preacher or a family that's gone through a tough time and they're trying to recoup? No, good night. You know what they have in common? They have in they hold that in common with some of the greatest prophets that have ever walked the face of the earth. It's hard to find a great man of God in the Old Testament that you can't go to a little chapter of his life where he got to that point where, remember Elijah, I'm all alone. I'm all alone. Not only am I the only one still doing right, the only one standing for right, not only has every man forsaken me, but God's forgot about me. And that's the first accusation that the devil wants to level against the Lord. Now, folks, listen to me. The Bible says, Jesus said in verse number 9, I know thy tribulation. I know thy poverty. I know all about it. Folks, God never takes his eyes off his children. He never takes his eyes off. And by the way, he goes on in that verse 9. I want to say this. I know the blasphemy of them that say they're Jews and are not. You know what he says here? He says this. I not only know what you're going through, and I have my eye on that and on you. I know who's putting you through it, and I've got my eye on them. Now, let me encourage the Church of Jesus Christ here. One of the big mistakes that we make, and it's dealt with in Romans chapter number 12, is that when we or our families attack, we want vengeance. We want to be the one that brings vengeance. And God says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. And you say, well, I don't think God must know what's going on. No, he knows exactly what's going on. He's got his eye on you in the middle of the storm. Wasn't it Jesus that went up to the mountain, constrained his disciples to get in the ship, sent them out in the sea, went up in the mountain to pray? And the Bible says from that mountaintop, he watched them in that storm. He watched them in that storm. You know what? He wasn't with them. They couldn't find him in the boat, but you know what? His eyes was on them. He knew exactly where they were. He knew exactly what they were going through. And so, listen, don't let the devil whisper in your ear, God has forsaken you. God has forgotten you. God has turned his back on you, because that's not true. Jesus gave testimony to the church and says, I know thy works. Can I quickly look down at verse number 10, just pull another nugget or two out here. He says this, fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that you may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Can I say this, folks? When God allows you to have tribulation, God always puts a time frame on it, a time period on it. It's not going to be forever. It's not going to be forever. Okay, when Job went into great tribulation, did God just put him into that and then leave him and let him suffer for the rest of his life? No, there was a time period. There was a time of testing. I don't know what the 10 days represents here. I think it's talking about something a little more than just 10, 24-hour periods. But you know what? There was a time frame. He said, I'm going to allow Satan to attack your church for a certain amount of time. Now, listen, I want to say this to you individually. I want to say it to your family. There's going to be times when God says, I'm going to let you have some times of testing. But listen to me, I have not forgotten you. I know your tribulation. I know your poverty. And I know those that are causing that. Hey, by the way, I started a stopwatch when it started. And there's going to be a time when I step in and say, okay, Satan, that's enough. And you know what? I'm not doing it to hurt you. I'm doing it to strengthen you. I'm doing it to accomplish some spiritual things in your life. Let it work for good. Let it work for good in your life. And so you have to realize that tribulation cannot separate you from the mind of God. Number three, you may have got ahead of me now. Think about this one. Realize tribulation cannot separate you from the love of God. Now, I love Romans chapter 8. Let me just read it to you. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And by the way, the very first thing that's listed, shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, interesting, he gets down to these facts, famine and nakedness and peril and sword. He gets down to death and life and angels and principalities. But isn't it interesting that when he addresses the Christians, the Bible says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, or persecution? Those are the first three things that's mentioned. A lot of times, folks, the reason I think that God mentioned those things is, you know what? That's going to be a part of all of our lives. And one of the accusations that Satan's going to level against God in your mind is not only God has forgotten you, but God no longer loves you. Preacher, if God loved me, I wouldn't be going through this. Preacher, if God really loved me, he wouldn't put me through this. That is not true. There is nothing that can separate you from the love of Christ. Absolutely nothing. The love of Christ is the one consistent thing that you can always rely on no matter what is going on in your life. You can say, God loves me. Jesus loves me. God loves my family. Jesus loves my family. Listen to me. Don't ever doubt the love of God. Something comes into our lives. Something comes that just kind of takes the, just knocks us off kilter, just takes the wind out of it. I mean, I don't mean some little bump in the road type thing, folks. I'm talking about something major comes into your life. And immediately, if we're not careful, number one, we start going into self-pity. Number two, we start going into hurling accusations against God. We aren't thinking of these accusations. They don't come from the heart of a Christian. They come from the Satan, the liar, the father of all lies. I said something to a lady yesterday when we were on visitation. I want you to listen to me, please, because this may help you. This is a lady that used to be in church here. Now she's out of church. She's got her family out of church. And I said this to her. I said, I promise you, I don't know all of the reasons why you quit coming and why you're no longer in church, but I can tell you this much because I know the devil. The devil is a master at sitting on somebody's shoulder and whispering lies about the church and lies about the pastor and lies about other Christians and convince you that some things, he convinces you that some things are true that just are not true. It's not true. And it's amazing when I begin to get her to start opening up, it's true. Everything she brought up was something that was insignificant and that was totally misread, but the devil had something that somebody said. It's just as simple as this. She said, well, I think sister so-and-so and sister so-and-so don't like me. The last time I was at church, both of them walked past me and didn't stop and shake my hand. And I looked at her and said, then half the church thinks I hate them. I mean, folks, I'm sorry, but you know what? Sometimes around this church, right before church starts, I got to get from point A to point B. Okay, do you understand that? Don't sit there and hold everybody in judgment by how they do or how they don't or what they do or what they don't or whether they smile or whether they don't smile. And the devil will sit on the shoulder of a Christian and he'll take every little nitpicking thing that happens, every comment that's made, and he wants to rework it and he wants to get it into your mind that they really meant this and they don't like you and this. The pastor, when he said that in the message, he was talking about this or talking, you know, and it's amazing the accusation that the devil will begin to level. And folks, listen to me. Don't forget this. The devil's a liar. He's going to come to you and say, God's not fair to you. And you're going to say, what do you mean he's not fair to me? He told me ahead of time that all these things were going to happen. Well, he's forgotten you. Then why did Jesus look down at the church, maybe at the church of all churches in the Bible that suffered the most persecution, and said, I know thy tribulation. I know thy poverty. By the way, I know your works also. I like that. You know what? They didn't quit working because they were going through persecution. They didn't quit working because they went through tribulation. He said, I know your works. I know your tribulation. I know your poverty. And by the way, I know the rascals that are causing it. Saying, you know what he was saying? He was saying, you let me take care of them. You keep your eyes on the work. You keep your hand to the plow. You keep your eyes on Jesus. You just keep a smile on your face. Get on the victory side. Well, preacher, it's hard. Then endure it. Well, it's heavy. Then carry it. Okay? Not everything in a Christian life is easy. Not all of it's enjoyable. Sometimes you just bear up. You just push on. You just say, this is unpleasant, but I'm going to go forward. This is uncomfortable, but I'm going to go forward. Satan's trying to wreak havoc with my mind and tell me lies, and I'm not going to listen to him. I'm going to go forward. I'm going to keep going for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why? Because God has not forsaken me, and God does love me, and the devil's a liar. I'll give you a couple more thoughts, and then we'll close it up. Number four, realize tribulation makes you, I want you to get this, realize tribulation makes you a member of an elite club. Now go to Revelation chapter 1, if you will. I want you to see that. We're just right there, a chapter away. I love what John wrote when he introduced himself here in the very openings of the Bible, Revelation of this book, Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 9. He introduces himself kind of in phases here in the first three verses and verse number 4. But in verse number 9, John says this, I, John, I love this, who also am your brother. Now, you ought to underline this next phrase. And companion in tribulation. Companion in tribulation. Now, I watch a Christian. I watch a young Christian, maybe a new convert. Maybe they got saved, and you know, for a while, God's kind of put a little hedge around them, and he's helping them, he's protecting them. And I'm not saying they're not facing some things, but boy, they're... And then, I'm going to say this, and most of you know what I'm talking about. Then the big one comes. Okay? You ever faced the big one? Now, see, let me look up here. And I don't want to dismiss just because you're young that you've never faced this, but most of you that are young have not faced it. You may think because, well, I had to go through this, and I had to go through this, and I had to go through this. The honest truth is you've never faced the big one yet. But you will. You will if God's going to use you on the next level. You have to. I've watched young people, I've watched teenagers face big ones early on. I've watched some young couples face big ones early on. I talked to a real good friend of mine, a good preacher friend of mine. He's about my age. We were sharing some things, and he told me, he said, Brother Jerry, I look back at my life. He's my age, late 40s. And he said, I look back on my life, and he said, you know, first 35 years, there were times I thought I really got tested. And then he said, at 35 years of age, he said, my wife and our family faced, and he used that phrase, the big one. And he said, here I thought I'd really been tested. And the honest truth is, he said, compared to that, I hadn't faced much of anything in my life. You know what I'm talking about? See, every one of you are going to a different thing. Because the thing that is the big one in my life may not be the big one that's in your life. And some of you are going to several things. And some of you are going to molehills and trying to make mountains out of them because you've never really faced a mountain yet. But when you face a mountain, you'll look back and realize most of what you whined about in life were molehills. Now, preacher, I mean, you're watching a young couple. And by the way, listen, the Church of Jesus Christ can pray for you. We can try to encourage you. But you know what? God set this thing up where seldom can we rescue you. Are you getting this? You know why? Because God doesn't want you to be rescued. Not right away. You see, at some point, I hope this isn't boring some of you younger ones. I guess it probably would of me because, you know, these things, life's not that hard yet. But I promise you, one of these days, I hope what I'm teaching you comes back. I hope you file it somewhere back in here because you don't know at what age you're going to hit these things. But buddy, there are times when all of a sudden your whole life's turned upside down. And everything that you've believed and everything that you've stood for comes into question. Okay? Preacher, what do I do? You endure. I'll tell you what you do. You endure. You just endure. You put one foot in front of the other. When I don't want to go to church, you go to church anyway. You realize there's times through my life that the last thing I wanted to do was walk behind the pulpit of this church. You've been there at times in your life where you don't want to see anybody. You don't want to talk to anybody. You just want to go get you a shovel, dig the deepest hole you can get to the very bottom of it, and pull something over the top and just stay there for the next 400 years? Are you getting this? Preacher, why does God do this? Listen to me. Why do the big ones need to come? Because you have to face some things that are so much bigger than what you are and so much bigger than what you can handle that you don't have a choice but to run to God. You know, I've watched it. I start naming people, I'll miss it. I've watched people in this church, some of them very young couples, go through the big one. Some of them pretty protected, and then they get in their middle age years, and they face something really, really big. I've watched teenagers go through some unbelievable thing. I don't know why God times it the way he does. I don't know why God does the way he does. He knows you and what you need. He knows me and what I need. But the command is this, folks. Endure. You know what I want to do? When I watch a young couple, when I watch a teenager, when I watch somebody go through the big one, I mean, you know, I'm sensitive to it. I'm watching. As a pastor, that's my job. And I watch that thing that's not a bump in the road, but that thing that has the potential to completely derail that family. And I watch that family just get underneath the burden of that and say, you know what? On Sunday morning, we always got up, went to church, and we're not stopping now. I always did this job at the church, and I'm not going to stop now. I may do it through tears, but I'm going to do it. We always went soul winning, and I'm not going to stop now. And I always read my Bible in the morning, and come on now. There's been times when I got up in the morning, and I opened my Bible, and I didn't want to read it. But I've always read it, and I'm not going to stop reading it. I'm not going to give up on God. I'm not going to listen to the lies of the devil. I'm not going to give in to this thing. I'm going to get under it, and I'm going to carry it, and I'm going to endure it with the grace of God. You say, preacher, it's too heavy. That's the whole point. Preacher, if I try to carry this, it'll crush me. That's the whole point. God's brought something into your life that's going to make you find him. God's brought something to your life that's going to make you, instead of sleeping at night, slip out into the backyard and get on your face and cry out to God. Say, God, I'm not going to be able to live through another day if you don't give me some strength here. I've got to be helped here. I've got to have your blessing and strength upon my life. I can't make it through tomorrow. You know what? You cry out for that kind of help. Precious arms of God comes around you and picks you up, and you get up the next day and say, I can't do this. And God whispers in your ear, yes, you can, son. I'm right here beside you, just one step at a time. You know, people say one day at a time. Sometimes it's 1 minute at a time. Amen there? Just get through this hour, and then we'll try to get through the next hour, and we'll try to get through the next hour. But I'm telling you, folks, if you'll endure and stick with it, you'll come out of that a changed person. When I see these young couples, I see individuals go through these things, I want to walk over to them, stick out my hand and say, welcome to the club. Sun's coming up in the morning. Sorrow may endure for a season, for a nighttime, but joy cometh in the morning. I know you don't like it now, but I'm gonna promise you something. There's going to be something you're going to discover in this process that you're going to like having the rest of your life. Maybe you're never going to look back and like having had gone through this, but you're going to like some of the things that God gives you that he couldn't have given you if you hadn't gone through things. The honest truth is, it's hard to imagine, but years from now, someone's going to come up and say, if you could go back and change history and change that event, would you? And even though it may have to be said through tears, you'll say, no, I would not want to lose what I gained because of God asking me to go through that. As hard as it is to say, no, I wouldn't change the will of God. I'm not the same person. I'm different. I can help people I couldn't help before. I can see things I couldn't see before. Folks, so the mentality is, the mindset is this. Listen, realize that tribulation puts you in a position, in a situation to be something and to do something that you could have never been or never done if you didn't have to go through what I call the big one. Let me end with this thought. Number five, realize that tribulation gives you two options. You can choose to endure or you can choose to fall away. You can choose to endure, or you can choose to fall away. Tribulation is going to give you two options when it boils down to it. I'm talking about this high school level, maybe elementary level approach, mentality, learning to endure. It's going to give you two options. You can choose to endure, or you can choose to fall away. Now let me read the verses to you. Matthew 13, verse 20 through 21. But he that received the seed into the stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. That word offended means he stumbles, he falls, by the wayside. He becomes unfruitful. That's the legacy of the stony ground. He became unfruitful. You know why? He didn't have the proper mindset when dealing with and learning how to endure temptation, tribulation, persecution. He just fell away. He just fell by the wayside. He stumbled. He fell. He became unfruitful. James chapter 1, though, gives us a better formula. Verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. You know, both in James chapter 1, verse 12, and in the verse we read in Revelation, the part of the letter, God said there's special crowns to those who endure this type of testing, this level of testing. See, I think we get to heaven, we think, okay, here comes the time to give out the crowns, and God's going to reward the martyrs. Where's the martyrs at? And of course, by the way, they deserve a crown, and they will receive a crown, those that gave their lives for the cause of Christ. Where's the preacher crown? Where's the pastors and the preachers that stayed faithful over the years? And they'll, yeah, they'll be. Some of you think, you know what, I'm just going to sit and watch other people. I promise you, in this one area, God will give every single Christian in here a chance to earn a crown. To God, in God's eyes, when a Christian faces the big one, faces intense persecution, intense tribulation, but he endures. You know what? He gets underneath the burden of it. He says, God, I can't do it, but with your help, I have to do it. So help me do it. And he keeps going and he stays faithful. God looks over to one of the angels and said, write down in his book of life there, write down in his book that we record things. Make a note. Remind me, by the way, when judgment day comes, we want to make sure he gets a crown for that. Now look right up here and let me help you. I wouldn't ask God for tribulation. Matter of fact, if you look at the Lord's Prayer, the Bible says that we're to pray the opposite. Lead me not into temptation. Deliver me from evil. It's not something you go out and seek, and it's something you don't choose. But when you face it and you endure it and you pass the test, I'm not God. I can't explain this next part and then we'll finish. But I think that there's going to be people that I know, Christians that I know, that receive multiple crowns for facing multiple big ones in their life. Preacher, why is it that this one person had to face all of this and this person, it seems like, didn't have to face as much? By the way, be careful with that. You don't know what they've had to face. Sometimes you'll never know what they had to face. You see, if I open this up for testimony time, there's things that some Christians can stand up and share, and there's things that some Christians cannot stand up and share. And shouldn't. And shouldn't. But you know what? God takes note of it. I don't think it's just going to be, hey, brother so-and-so, come up here, I've got a crown for you. No, I think he's going to go and say, you know what? To make you what I needed you to be, I allowed this to come into your life. And you know what you did? You endured. Here's a crown. And then a few years later, to make you what I needed you to be for that next great thing in your life, I allowed this to come in. And you know what you endured? Here's another crown. And I don't know how many that I'll receive or you'll receive, but I'm going to tell you something. I do believe that some Christians are asked to go through a lot more than other Christians. I don't understand it. I don't know why. But I'll tell you this, if you keep an eye on those people that have gone through the multiples, usually God's preparing them for something pretty spectacular. There are people in our church that are being used right now in this spring program, and God's doing some remarkable things through them that would never be happening if they had not gone through and been asked to go through some testing. So, all right, entry level. How do I endure temptation? How do I endure tribulation? You get the right mindset. Now, if you'll come back next week, I want to see if I can take you from there and show you a real neat place to live. where you just do not endure temptation, but you learn to glory in tribulation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I would ask, Lord, that you'd use the message tonight, Lord, to our benefit, Lord, and to help us. Encourage that Christian that's discouraged. Help that brother or sister that's going through a time of intense testing. I would ask, Lord, please, that you would use what we've taught today. God, please, do a work of grace in our life. And I would pray, dear Lord, that you would please, Lord, bless and lift up and strengthen those in our church, even now, dear God. Some of us are looking back at some things that we've had to go through. Some of them are looking forward, thinking, yes, these things will come in my life, and I need these truths. But there's always that handful of people that are in the midst of some tribulation, dear God, some testing, or maybe, dear God, they've gone through it, and now they need the healing hand of God upon their life, the strength that comes from the hand of God. And so, Lord, wherever they're at, I pray for them. Lord, use this and these truths to help us today, we pray in Jesus' name.